In today's gospel, Christ sends out his disciples to preach his good news. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
At that time, the Lord appointed 72 others, whom he sent ahead of him in pairs to every town and place he intended to visit. He said to them, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. Go on your way. Behold, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Carry no money bag, no sack, no sandals, and greet no one along the way. Into whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this household.' If a peaceful person lives there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. Stay in the same house and eat and drink what is offered to you, for the laborer deserves his payment. Do not move about from one house to another. Whatever town you enter, and they welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick in it and stay to them. The kingdom of God is at hand for you. Whatever town you entered, and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, 'The dust of your town that clings to our feet, even that we shake off against you.' Yet know this, the kingdom of God is at hand. I tell you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom on this day than that town." The 72 returned, rejoicing, and said, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us because of your name." Jesus said, "I have observed Satan fall like lightning from the sky. Behold, I have given you the power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and upon the full force of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice because the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
It's a good thing Deacon Ray found out he was reading the wrong gospel, because otherwise he would have been preaching extemporaneously at this Mass. You might have heard the story. It's an old legend recently about a day when a Satan called demons, some minor demons ahead of him, in front of him. He wanted to send a demon out onto the earth to seduce the souls of men and women. So he said to these minor demons, he said, "Who will go upon the earth for me to seduce men and women?" So this one demon put up its hand and he said, "Fine, what will you tell them?" So the demon said, "I will tell them that there is no God." Satan said, "You fool. They know there's a God. That's not going to do any good. They know there's a God. That's stupid. Get out of my sight. Who will go upon the earth for me to seduce the souls of men and women?" Second demon puts up its hand. "And what will you tell them?" "I will tell them there is a God, but I will tell them that they are so wicked that this God could never love them, so they might as well forget him anyway." And Satan says, "You fool." They know God loves them. They know that in spite of their sinfulness, God sent Christ into the world to die for their sins. That's never going to work. Get out of my sight. Finally, one demon puts up its hand and says, "I'll go." Satan says, "And what will you tell them?" He said, "I will tell them there is a God, and I will tell them that this God does love them. But I will tell them not to worry. They've got plenty of time for all that stuff later. I'll tell them they've got plenty of time to worry about all that later." And Satan smiled and sent that demon upon the earth, where today still countless souls are lost by thinking they can put off until some other time what they should be doing today. Wonderful little legend. Only a legend, of course, but something I think the meaning of which Christ himself would approve of when we look at today's gospel. We see him sending out today, for the first time on their own, 72 of his disciples. Now remember, these are not the apostles. This isn't the inner circle. Jesus had a large group of followers. These 72 represent you and me. They represent us. They're us. He sends them out to preach the kingdom. What does he tell them? Don't worry about what you're going to wear. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about where you're going to stay. Don't get caught up in all kinds of frivolous things along the way. Preach the good news of the kingdom. In other words, what Jesus is saying to them, to us, is that there's an urgency, an immediacy about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not for some other time. It's for right now. It's for today. It's not that food and clothing and housing and friendship and all of those other things aren't important. They are. But what Jesus is teaching is that the kingdom of God comes first. And what that means is that the things of the kingdom of God have to infuse all those other things. Our family life, our work life, our play life, all the things we find important, all the things we do and don't do, that has to all be infused first by the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is immediate, urgent, now, today. Can't be put off for some other time. We can see where the seduction is to put things off. Some other time I'll take care of that. Some other time I'll deal with that. Christ today says, no, the kingdom is now. It's urgent. And that's a very important fact for us to realize, isn't it? Huh? Because we know, we all know that there are things God wants us to do. But how easy it is to say, I'll take care of that later. I'll take care of that down the road, you know? I mean, I know he wants me to heal that relationship that's fractured in my family. I know he wants me to do that, but, you know, that's going to be hard. I'll take care of that some other time. Or, well, I know I can be selfish, and I know the Lord wants me to be more generous, and I will. I will. Someday. Or, you know, I know God wants me to spend more time with my family, give more time to my wife and my children, and I know that's important, and I, you know, but work is so all-consuming, and I'll get to that at some point. And see, what Jesus says today is, no, today is an urgency, an immediacy about the things of the kingdom of God. It can't be put off. And they can't be put off, I think, for two reasons. The first reason is this. When we put off the things that we know God wants us to do, bit by bit, they become less important to us. You know, when we take that relationship that's been fractured, we say, I'll take care of that at some point. We wait. And at a certain point, the whole thing becomes unimportant to us. That's the first thing. But then secondly, there are many, many things that occur in our lives that have to be taken care of right now, or we will miss the opportunity. The opportunity we have today is lost tomorrow. It comes along once, here and now. If we don't jump on it, we miss something of the kingdom. It's not there some other time. I read not long ago, I was reminded not long ago, of a wonderful little piece that was written some years ago now by Irma Bombeck. Some of you probably remember Irma Bombeck. She was a columnist, a syndicated columnist, and wrote several books. And she had wrote these funny takes on life, you know, but also a lot of serious, very down-to-earth discussions of life. And she told the story on herself. She's been deceased now a number of years, but she told this story about herself. She said she was in an airport one day, ready to catch a flight to Chicago. And so she's sitting there at the gate, reading, and all of a sudden she looks up and she sees this elderly lady coming down the aisle, coming down the runway there in the terminal. And she walks right down toward the gate where Irma Bombeck is sitting, and she gets to that gate. It's obviously the plane she's going to be on, too, and she looks around for a place to sit down. And you know, there's nobody there yet. The gate is almost empty. She's got hundreds of seats. She looks around, and she walks over and sits right down next to Irma Bombeck. You know what that's like? You know, you're in the movie theater all by yourself, practically. And all of a sudden, the tallest person in the world comes in and sits right in front of you, you know. Why does that happen, you know? But anyway, she comes over and she sits right next to Irma Bombeck. And she's sitting there, and Irma Bombeck is kind of trying to ignore her, and she's reading. And finally, the little lady leans over and says, "I wonder if it will be cold in Chicago." Irma Bombeck is in no mood to socialize, and she says, "Well, I suppose it will. It's winter. I suppose it will." The woman's going to say something else. She says, "Excuse me, I've got to go get a paper." So she gets up and she goes over to the newsstand. And she's, you know, putzing around over at the newsstand and watching to see what goes on. And the little old lady sitting there, she sits there for a while. Then she gets up and she moves down three or four seats and sits right next to somebody else. So Irma Bombeck goes back to her original seat, two or three seats away now from this lady with another person. She can't help but overhear the lady who says to this other person, "I wonder if it will be cold in Chicago. And you know, I can't drive. And the nun had to drive me to the airport from the hospital. And my husband's body is on this plane. My husband's body is on this plane." Irma Bombeck felt terrible. Now, here's this lady. She just needed somebody to talk to, some word of consolation, somebody to share her sorrow at that moment. Irma Bombeck didn't do it. She didn't do it. She didn't, you know, it's not that she knew that this was the issue there, but the point is, she just missed the opportunity. She missed the opportunity to be a word of consolation. She missed a kingdom moment. She missed a moment when the kingdom of God could have come into the world in some kind of a wonderful way. She missed that. She said she hoped that woman found somebody else to console her. You see, that's the point. When something happens, when an opportunity is given to us, when something needs to be done, now's the time to do it, because you may never have that time again, never have that chance again. You may miss it, it's gone. Time of the kingdom, lost. The kingdom is urgent, immediate, for today, for now, not for some other time. We have to be careful we don't listen to that demon that says, "Yeah, God loves you, and God forgives you, but you got a lot of time for that. Don't worry about it. You got plenty of time for that some other time." The kingdom is for today. Let's pray that we might recognize the kingdom's all around us. All around us. But to be part of it, we have to use today for the things of the kingdom so that we don't miss them forever. May God bless you.